طيب إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. Today, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 13th session. And also, the hadith that we're going to take today is the 13th hadith from the book entitled Arabic Lessons in Hadith, Level 2, Al-Mustawa Thani, from the Islamic University of Medina Arabic Language Program. Today's hadith, 13th hadith, like many of the hadith before it, is yani relatively reasonable in its length, and that shouldn't be that difficult to memorize, especially if we consider that the second line of this hadith is almost a repeat of the first line. So really, yani if you memorize the first line, you just have to add one word here and change one word here. It's the same. Everything is exactly the same. So we should not find any difficulty memorizing this hadith today. But before we start with the hadith for today, we want to review quickly, as we mentioned last week, the two hadiths that are remaining, which we didn't review yet. And previously we reviewed hadith 1 through 4. And the following week we reviewed 5, 6, and 7. And last week we reviewed 8, 9, and 10. So today we're going to review what? 11 and 12. And this review is very important, brothers and sisters, because if we intend, if we hope, and we make an effort to memorize the hadith of this curriculum, 20 hadith, we don't want, after 20 weeks, to have forgotten what we learned in the first and second and third week. And the only way that we can and you have a reasonable assurance that we're not going to forget the hadith that we learned 10 weeks ago or 15 weeks ago is that we review them on a regular basis. That we review the hadith on a regular basis. So every week, inshallah, we're going to try to review a few hadith. As long as we have enough time, we're going to try to review as many of them as possible. We've been reviewing one hadith, everybody getting a chance to recite it, whoever wants to. And in the future, we're going to try to review in a different way. We're going to try to give a person a chance to recite a number of hadith, straight through, like 1 through 5, or 6 through 10. Yes, yes. And in the end, we're going to have somebody recite all of the hadith from 1 through 20. And if you, have some uneasiness or discomfort in reciting in front of a lot of people, then inshallah, we'll give you some paper, and at the end of the class, you can write at your convenience, write out the hadith for us, inshallah. Inshallah, we do intend to memorize 20 hadith. And if we don't memorize 20, as many as possible, 15, 10, whatever you can do, everybody according to their ability. Okay, so right now we're going to review hadith number 11 and hadith number 12. Who remembers what is hadith number 11? Hadith number 11. What is hadith number 11? Who remembers? Now, Mustafa. What is the hadith? You want to recite it? Or just give us the idea. Whose hadith is it? Hadith narrated from who? From Umar? Abdullah ibn Umar. And that hadith is reported by who? The hadith is reported by who? Who collected the hadith?
Abu Dawud.
Al-Imam Abu Dawud. Okay. Did anybody memorize this hadith? Or does anybody still remember this hadith? Nasir?
No.
Nasir?
An Abdullah ibn Umar
radiallahu anhu.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
رواه أبو داود. جيد أحسنت. يعني the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما, may Allah be pleased with both of them, in which he said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said لا تمنعوا نساءكم المساجد, do not prohibit your women from يعني attending the masjids. وبيوتهن خير لهن, and their يعني prayers in their homes are better for them than the prayer in the masjids. وبيوتهن خير لهن رواه أبو داود, reported by أبو داود. طيب, anybody else memorize this hadith? Anybody else memorize this hadith? نعم, مرشد.
Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, لا تمنعوا نساءكم مساجد وبيوتهن خير لهن رواه أبو داود.
أحسنت, ما شاء الله. Somebody else, who else memorize it? Faiz.
عن أبي عمر رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
لا تمنعوا نساءكم
المساجد
و وبيوتهن خير لهن رواه أبو داود. نعم أحسنت. Somebody else, who else memorize it? Go ahead.
لا تمنعوا نساءكم المساجد
بيوتهن أها
خير لهن.
جيد أحسنت, ما شاء الله. Jamil, he's the youngest person here today. MashaAllah. He's not afraid, mashaAllah. Who else? Who else memorized it? Khalas, Abu Bakr. Now, go ahead, last one. Al Masajida. Rawahu. Abu Dawud. طيب, hadith number 12. Who memorized hadith number 12? First of all, who is the narrator of this hadith number 12? Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And who collected this hadith?
Bukhari
wa Muslim. Muttafaqun alayhi, al-Bukhari wa Muslim. Okay, who memorized it? Who memorized it? Nasir.
An Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam
Salatun masjidi hadha khairun. Somebody else, who memorized this hadith? Mustafa.
عن أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة في مسجد هذا خير من ألف صلاة فيما سواه إلى مسجد الحرام.
متفق عليه. Somebody else. عبد الكريم.
أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة في المسجد خير هذا من ألف صلاة فيها فيما سواه المسجد الحرام إلا المسجد الحرام. متفق عليه.
متفق عليه. نعم. طيب, who didn't recite today? Who didn't recite a hadith today? نعم.
بسم الله. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
عليه وسلم
تمنعوا
Salatun, Salatun.
I'm going to the other one.
No.
Yes. Salatun. Salatun.
Al-Masjidi.
Khayrun.
Hada
Khayrun. Min Alfi. Al-Masjid.
خير من ألف صلاة
صلاة
صلاة صلاة في مسجد هذا خير
من
ألف صلاة فيما سواه فيما سواه
فيما سواه المسجد
إلا
المسجد مسجد الحرام
reported by متفقون عليه. طيب brothers and sisters, it is incumbent upon us to review as much as possible so that يعني it will stick with us. Otherwise you might remember a hadith يعني today and forget it tomorrow if you don't review. You might remember it this week and forget it next week if you don't review. So I encourage you to try to take a few minutes throughout the day. Whenever you have a break, stop, waiting, a pause. Somebody got you on hold, waiting for the bus, in the supermarket, online. Take out that paper, take out your cards or whatever, and review every chance that you get. The more you review it, the more it's going to stick. And these are the words of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not like memorizing something for school, or it's poetry or a song or something. These are the words of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as they were authentically reported by the great scholars of Islam. Please yani understand the importance of memorization, not just having a general idea of the meaning, but knowing the exact words that were used by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tayyib, let's go to the hadith for today. And again, I say that this hadith, like the hadith before, it is relatively short. Yani basically there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe 9, 10 words. The second line is exactly the same as the earlier line, except one word added here, la, and one word exchanged at the end, yani al-jannah in place of an-nar. So really it's not a long hadith if you really think about it, and inshallah we're going to memorize it. Some of us are going to memorize it today. Maybe some of you already went ahead and memorized it, mashallah. And if not, then we have the whole week until next week to memorize it and to review what we have taken already. Okay, so this hadith is عن عبد الله ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال يعني عبد الله ابن مسعود, may Allah be pleased with him, he said قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من مات يشرك بالله شيئا دخل النار. يعني من مات, whoever died, يشرك بالله شيئا, while committing shirk with Allah, يعني associating شيئا, something, associating يشرك بالله, associating with Allah something, anything, whatever it may be. Person died in a condition of committing shirk. They are in the process, yani they are actively involved in committing shirk. Yani this is what they do, they commit shirk. They didn't repent from it. This person, the Prophet ﷺ said, دخل النار, past tense, he has already entered the hellfire, meaning that person is guaranteed to be in the hellfire. And whoever dies and they are yani a person who's committing shirk, then they will be entered into the hellfire. The narrator of the hadith, Abdul Masud, said, وَقُلْتُ أَنَا وَقُلْتُ أَنَا. قُلْتُ means I said, and أَنَا is just re-emphasizing the meaning of قُلْتُ, right? Because when you said قُلْتُ, it already means I said, right? So this is for emphasis. He's saying, I am saying now. He's not attributing this to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, although the Prophet said what follows too. But Abdul Masud, when he narrated the hadith, that's the way he narrated it. He attributed this to the Prophet, and then he said, وَقُلْتُ أَنَا, and I am saying, مَنْ مَاتَ لَا يُشْرِكُ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا. Yani, the first line, مَنْ مَاتَ يُشْرِكُ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا, what Abdul Mas'ud is attributing to himself, he said, مَنْ مَاتَ لا يشرك بالله شيئا دخل الجنة. Alright? Whoever dies, whoever has died, لا يشرك بالله شيئا. And he has not been associating anything with Allah as a partner, as an equal with Allah, and that which is his exclusive right. Then this person, دخل الجنة, has already entered the Jannah, meaning he's guaranteed to enter the Jannah. This hadith requires a lot of discussion, but yani, we have a little bit of time, so we'll discuss it a little bit. This hadith is reported by رواه البخاري ومسلم. Yani, we could say, as we have in many of the hadith before said, متفقون عليه, right? But this is how it came, رواه البخاري ومسلم. That's how we will learn it, like this, huh? رواه البخاري ومسلم. Okay, again, this hadith is from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. عبدالله يعني with كسرة يعني مضاف إليه مجرور عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه. May Allah be pleased with him. He said, قال رسول الله, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من مات يشرك بالله شيئا دخل النار. عبد بن مسعود says, وقلت أنا, and I am saying, من مات لا يشرك بالله شيئا دخل الجنة. رواه البخاري ومسلم. We're going to talk about this hadith a little bit, but first, are there any questions about the words, the meaning of the words, or anything in the hadith that's not clear? Abu Bakr. Yeah, now. Okay, in brief, we don't want to get into a lengthy discussion about this, but in the general language that's used for something that a narrator attributes to the Prophet, we say it's marfu'un, marfu'un, yani from rafa'a. It is raised up, rafa'a, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A statement from a companion, we say it is mawquf'un, mawquf, waqafa, it stopped with the companion. He didn't attribute it, he didn't raise it up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? So if a companion narrates to us something, and he says he's attributing it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet said this, we say this is marfu'un, from rafa'a, to be raised up. And if he gives us, he narrates to us something from himself, he didn't attribute it to the Prophet, we say it is mawqufun, from waqafa, means it stops with the one who narrates it, he's not raising it up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But however, in line with your question, we have also a narration that's reported by Imam Muslim in his Sahih from Jabir, yani Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhuma. He said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ثنتان موجبتان. Yani the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said ثنتان موجبتان, two things. Yani ثنتان means يعني خصلتان, two characteristics or two traits. Mujibatani means sababani, that they are the cause. They are two traits that are the cause of something being obligated to happen. One of the people said, قال رجل يا رسول الله ما المujibatani, what are those mujibatani, yani sababani, those two causes that you are talking about. And then the Prophet ﷺ said these words, من مات يشرك بالله شيئا دخل النار. Forget about this here. The Prophet ﷺ said, من مات يشرك بالله شيئا دخل النار ومن مات لا يشرك بالله شيئا دخل الجنة. The Prophet ﷺ said it just like that. Except that here, in this narration of Jabir, there's this word, wa. Yani, came in the narration of Jabir. Both of these statements being attributed, marfu'un, to the Prophet ﷺ. Marfu'un. Okay, so the meaning of this narration of Jabir, the Prophet ﷺ is saying both of these statements. Fintani, this is a not, describing the mubtada which is not present. Yani meaning, this is a not describing a word that's the mubtada of the sentence, and that word would be khaslatani, two characteristics. Yani khaslatani, fintani means, yani two characteristics. Mujibatani means sababani. They are the two causes, yani, that obligate something. The man said they obligate what? يعني ما الموجبتاني. ما الموجبتاني. What are those two things? Those two causes that obligate something. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever dies associating something with Allah, يعني his موت على الشرك, dying upon shirk, is the سبب لدخول النار. Is the cause of him entering the hellfire. It will be the cause of him entering the hellfire وَخُلُودِهَا and remaining in it eternally. وَمَنْ مَاتَ لَا يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا لَا يُشْرِكُ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. And this, the maut ala tawheed, the person who dies upon tawheed, that will be the sabab, the cause of that person entering the Jannah. يعني موجبتان سببان. There are two causes that obligate a person entering the paradise of the hellfire. الموت على الشرك. The person dying upon shirk is the sabab, the cause for them to enter the hellfire and to remain in it eternally. والموت على التوحيد. The person who dies upon tawheed, yani who lives their life strictly trying to preserve the tawheed of Allah, doing every act of worship, whatever they say or do, for the sake of Allah alone, and not making anything as an equal or partner, sharing with Allah in that which is his exclusive right, this will be the cause of that person entering the paradise. Entering the paradise. And we should say here that, in brief, the scholars have divided shirk usually into two divisions, the greater shirk and the lesser shirk. And by greater shirk, shirk al-akbar, we mean that shirk which causes a person to go out of Islam and is the cause of a person entering the hellfire and remaining in it eternally if they die upon that condition without repenting from it. And if a person repents from shirk, Allah accepts repentance, sincere repentance with its conditions, then it removes it. But if a person dies upon shirk, meaning they committed the greater shirk, and they didn't repent from it, that person will be in the hellfire eternally. The other type of shirk is shirk asghar, the lesser shirk. Sometimes it's called major and minor shirk. Okay? This type of shirk is the shirk that does not take a person out of Islam. That does not take a person out of Islam. And the scholars have defined it differently. Some said they differentiated them by saying major shirk, the greater shirk, takes a person out of Islam. The lesser shirk doesn't take a person out of Islam. Some scholars said that the greater shirk is صرف نوع من أنواع العبادة لغير الله. يعني that anybody gives, offers any type of worship to other than Allah. Any act of worship, whatever it might be, to other than Allah, this is the shirk akbar that takes a person out of Islam. If they die in that condition, and if they didn't repent from it, they will be in the hellfire eternally. And the minor shirk, they said, some of the scholars said, it is the wasila, whether it's speech or action or intention, the means that if a person does this thing, it's the means that leads that person to the greater shirk. And if a person does something, whether speech or action or intention, the act or the speech or the intention that leads to the greater shirk, then this is what is called minor shirk. It doesn't take the person out of Islam, but is subject to lead them to the greater shirk, which takes you out of Islam. And that's why any type of shirk, shirk akbar or shirk asghar, any type of shirk should be feared and should be avoided at all costs. Okay, there's a lot of discussion about the topic of shirk. We really don't have time to discuss it when we get to the hadith, but I'll take your question.
Shirk al-Akbar takes a person out of Islam. My first question is, if the person then repents, what will be the condition? Will the person have to take the Shahada again?
Why not? If they're not a Muslim, the only way to enter Islam is by Shahada.
All right.
If a person became a kafir, a mushrik, then they have to enter into Islam by Shahada.
All right, shukran.
Now,
my second question is regarding matter. Right? Matter yamutu. Can we say also mitu?
Okay, we're going to come to the linguistic. We didn't come to that yet. We're going to talk about the linguistic meanings, okay? But as far as the meaning of the hadith, the meaning of shirk in general, yani this is something that a person should be careful of. Yani that a person, for example, does an act, which is the right of exclusive right of Allah alone. Yani that, for example, making sacrifice, a dhabh, Yani is an act of worship that should only be done for the sake of Allah. A person makes a sacrifice for somebody else, for a dead person, for a saint, or somebody in the grave. This sacrifice that is done for the person in that grave to get near to them or whatever, to get some benefit or whatever they imagine that they're going to get from this, this is offering an act of worship to other than Allah. It's shirk al-akbar, a shirk al-akbar that takes a person out of Islam. We should be careful. Some of the things that we say, speech, a person supplicating, ya Jalani, and he calling on some yani person, human being, that's dead now, or even alive. But I'm saying this is what the people are doing. And they are supplicating, they are calling upon with words, someone other than Allah. And dua is worship. So whoever does so, this speech is shirk, major shirk, the greatest shirk that takes a person out of Islam. This person became a mushrik, a mushrik. So be careful what we say, be careful what we do, take this matter seriously, read about shirk, study the matter, read what the scholars have said about it, understand the types and divisions of shirk, and different categories of shirk, and the things that lead to shirk, and what is the protection from it. And finally, I'm going to just say here, I'm going to mention the hadith, and maybe we won't have time to discuss it in detail, but the hadith is mentioned by Imam al-Suyuti in the Jami' al-Saghir, na'am.
No.
It's correct to say Ya Rasulullah. In the Tashahud, the Prophet ﷺ taught the companions to say Ya Rasulullah. Naam. And after he was dead, they continued to say it. Naam. After he was dead, they continued to say it. And that hadith, and there's a hadith that's sahih, Shaykh al-Albani mentioned in Sifat al-Salah, that Aisha radiallahu anha said, the Prophet ﷺ taught me the words of the Tashahud like this, and the companions continued to use it after the death of the Prophet. And Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, discussed it in detail in his book on Salah, this particular wording, and both of these wordings are correct, even though and some of the scholars say that after the death of the Prophet, then they didn't use these words anymore. The truth, the fact of the matter is, it's authentically narrated that they did continue to use these words in the Tashahud as he taught them. In any case, this is another topic that we don't have time to discuss right now. And like I said, there are a lot of points related to this topic. But if you have learned the Tashahud with a wording that came authentically from the Prophet ﷺ, then there's no shirk involved in what the Prophet ﷺ taught them to say, even when he was living and he was in another land. Were they saying Ya Rasulullah? Were they saying Ya Rasulullah to the Prophet when he was traveling in another land? Somebody was in Medina and the Prophet ﷺ was in Mecca. Were they saying Ya Rasulullah? Was that permissible? And to call upon somebody in another land as though they can hear you? They didn't have any telephone. And if they're just calling out into the air, Allah is the one who hears, the one who calls upon him. And this Ya Rasulullah here doesn't mean yani we are asking the Prophet ﷺ for something. Even in the lifetime of the Prophet, we're not asking him for something except that which a human being can do. Except that which a human being can do. And if you ask a human being to do something that they're capable of doing, it's not shirk. And if somebody says to you, Ya Faiz, I need some help to carry this bag, can you help me? That's not shirk. But if I say, Ya Faiz, and you're in Chicago, and I'm in Brooklyn, I say, help me carry this bag, and you're in Chicago, that's shirk, because you're not able to do that. So in any case, this is the discussion, this is not the time for it, the time is short, we're going to have a little bit of time, and we're going to try to complete this hadith as best we can. I just want to mention something that will help us, and that is the hadith that Imam Suyuti narrates in Jami' al-Saghir. Shaykh al-Albani mentions Sahih Jami' al-Saghir, hadith of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, hadith number 3731, where the Prophet, it's narrated that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ash-shirku fikum akhfa min dabib al-namal." That shirk, the Prophet ﷺ said that the shirk amongst you, it is more, yani hidden, akhfa, yani undetectable, than the crawling of the ant, the crawling of the ant. Sa'adullukum ala shay'an idha fa'altahu adhhaba anka sigar ash-shirk wa kibaruhu. And I will point you to something that if you, yani, did it, it would remove from you the sigar ash-shirk, the lesser shirk, wa kibarahu, and the greater shirk. Taqulu, it is that you say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika and ushrika bika wa ana a'lamu wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lamu. Yani, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from committing shirk, from associating something with you, wa ana a'lamu, while I know that it is shirk, while my condition is that I know it's shirk and I'm committing shirk, I seek refuge, yani, in you, O Allah, from committing shirk while I know it. Wa astaghfiruka, and I seek forgiveness from you, lima la a'lamu, for that which I do not know, yani which I do unknowingly. Yani seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from committing shirk knowingly, and asking forgiveness from Allah for committing shirk unknowingly, yani that you didn't know, like inconspicuous shirk, shirk al-khafi. Yani the shirk that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described here, akhfa fikum min dabib an-naml, that it's more hidden than the crawling of an ant. It's more hidden than that. Means it's a type of shirk that a person might not even be aware of. They might not be conscious of. They might not even know that this is shirk. They might be doing it and they don't even feel it. They don't recognize it. Okay? So we ask Allah's forgiveness for that kind of shirk. And the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever supplicates with this supplication regularly, as often as possible, daily or whatever, and then inshallah this will remove the greater shirk and the lesser shirk from that person. This is a supplication that yani nobody should feel that they are free of need of. Okay, quickly to the Arabic, yani in the yani the Arabic section of this linguistic matters of this hadith, the first word that came is mata, mata, yani the past tense verb to die, he died, right? The present tense mudari, yamutu, mata, yamutu, wal masdar mautun. والمصدر موتٌ. يعني this came in this hadith twice, right? In the first line and the second time, من مات يشرك بالله شيئا, and then in the second line again, من مات لا يشرك بالله شيئا. يعني whoever died, مات يموت موت. The second word, أشرك بالله شيئا. يعني the second expression, أشرك بالله شيئا. يعني the meaning of أشرك بالله شيئا, meaning that person associated with Allah something. The meaning is جَعَلَهُ, that he made that thing شَرِيكًا لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى, he made that thing a partner, an equal, a sharer in that, in something that is from the exclusive rights of Allah alone. يعني أَشْرَكَ بِاللَّهِ, meaning جَعَلَ, he made that thing شَرِيكًا لِلَّهِ, a partner with Allah. Well, mudari from ashraka, that's the past tense. The mudari form is yushriku, and the ism fa'il. And what is the ism fa'il? No, what do we mean by ism fa'il? The noun that represents the one who does the action of the verb. Yani, the noun that represents the one who does the action of the verb. So the noun that represents the one who commits shirk, that noun is mushrik. Mushrik. Yani, the past tense ashraka, present tense yushriku, the one who does it is called a mushrik. And this is like the verb aslama. Yani ashraka is like the verb aslama, yuslimu, and the one who does that is called a what? A muslim. And the same with the verb amana, yu'minu, the one who does it is called a mu'min. So these are all from the same form, the fourth form of the verb, yani af'ala. يعني أشرك أسلم آمن, يعني the one who does those things is called a mushrik, a Muslim or mu'min. The next expression that came is مات يشركا. What is the meaning of مات يشركا? A, مات في حالة الشرك. يعني he died in a condition of committing shirk. يعني he was in the condition of committing shirk, meaning that he has committed an act of shirk from which he didn't repent from. So he's in that condition right now because he didn't repent from it. Doesn't mean that he was committing shirk at the moment he died. He may have committed shirk 1 hour before that, or 1 day before that, or 1 month before that. But he didn't repent from it, so that condition of shirk remains upon him. Person dies while they're in a condition of shirk. أي مات في حالة الشرك. مات وهو مشرك. Meaning what? He died while he was a mushrik. Doesn't mean he died and he had to have been committing shirk at that moment. It means he died while he was a mushrik. How did he become a mushrik? By committing shirk and not repenting from it. That person remains as a mushrik until he dies as a mushrik, unless he repents from it. This is very serious. And remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا. Allah does not forgive anybody committing shirk with him. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ, and he forgives anything less than that. Any other sin other than shirk. Every sin is less than shirk. Anything less than that, Allah may forgive it if He wills. As far as shirk, if a person doesn't repent from it, Allah does not forgive it. Huh? Be clear on this. The meaning here, Allah doesn't forgive shirk, it doesn't mean if a person repents, Allah doesn't forgive it. It means if he does not repent, Allah will not forgive it. As opposed to other sins, a person might commit a sin, they didn't repent, but Allah might forgive them anyway. He forgives whoever He wills. But not shirk. He doesn't forgive shirk. You have to repent from it. So the matter is very, very serious. After this, mata yushrik, yani meaning, mata fi halati shirk, meaning, mata wa huwa mushrik, yani while he is in a state of shirk, he is a mushrik. The last word that came, yani from the grammatical points, is annar wal murad biha jahannam. Jahannamu. Yani, the meaning of annar, the fire, it means what? Yani the hell fire. Yani the fire here means, doesn't mean the fire that's in a building that's burning down. It means the hell fire that Allah has prepared for the people who disbelieve and disobey Him as a punishment in the next life. Naam.
Murad,
Al Murad. Huh? It doesn't literally mean synonym. It means, yani literally, from arada yuridu. What does the person intend by this expression? Yani you could say it is a synonym, yes, but the meaning of murad, al murad is from arada. When a person said this, what did he intend? What did he mean by that? He meant, when he said annar, he meant jahannam. Okay, so al murad means, yani, al murad biha means what is intended by this word annar. What is intended by it? Jahannam. Not just a regular fire. What is intended by it? Yani al murad al maqsood. Al murad means al maqsood. What is intended by this particular expression? Type munaqasha. First set of questions, ajib an ma ya'ti. And time is against us at this moment. Time is against us. Ajib an ma ya'ti. Maza qala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bin nisbati ila man mata mushrikan. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say in reference to, bin nisbati, in reference to man mata mushrikan, the person who died as a mushrik? What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say about that? Abdul Haq. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, yani the person, man mata mushrikan, or man mata yushriku billahi shayan, dakhala an-nar. On the next page, question number two, man qala hadha. Who said this word? Man mata yushriku billahi shayan, dakhala an-nar. Who said this? Huh?
Rasulullah
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qala hadha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Question number three, wa man qala hadha? Man mata la yushriku bi shayan dakhala al-jannah. Man qala hadha? In our hadith in the book here. Naam, what's your name, akhi?
Minte?
Naam. Yeah, I gotta get your information before you leave the class today, inshallah. Naam, Minte. Naam. Type men qala, this, who said this statement? Men, yani mata la yushrik billahi shayan dakhala an-nar. Men, who is the person who said this? Huh? Yeah?
Abdullah
ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He's the one who said this. I think you wanted to say that, what is this called technically?
No, that's what I'm going to say. I was looking for the name.
Yeah, technically. Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. This statement that's from a companion, not raised up to the Prophet, is called the what?
Mawquf.
Number three. La yadkhulu al-mushriku al-jannata. Yani the mushrik will not enter the Jannah. Udhkur hadithan fi hadha al-ma'na. Mention a hadith with this meaning. Naam, Murshid. Mention it.
Yes.
La yadkhulu al-mushrik al-jannah. Yani, what hadith gives this meaning? That a mushrik will not enter the Jannah.
So you say from the top, or you just finish the sentence?
You can finish the sentence. You can say from the top, right? Because, yani, man mata yushrik billahi shayan dakhala an-nar, person enter the Jannah, that means he's not entering the paradise. Or, yani, there's a hadith that's not intended here. There's a hadith that's not intended here where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يدخل الجنة إلا نفس مسلمة. لا يدخل الجنة إلا نفس مسلمة. that no one will enter the paradise except a nafs, a soul that is Muslimah. And in some of the narrations that's authentically narrated, nafsun mu'mina, yani a believing soul. Yani no one will enter the Jannah except a Muslim person or a believing person. And this hadith, yani with the word nafsun, yani Muslima, is narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. No one will enter the Jannah illa nafsun Muslima, reported by Bukhari and Muslim. And the other wording, nafsun mu'mina, is authentically reported in the Sunan of Nasa'i. Sheikh Al-Albani said that the Sahih, it's also reported in the Sunan of the Sahih Ibn Khuzaymah, Sahih Ibn Hibban, Mustadrak Al-Hakim, and other books. And all of those narrations are authentic according to the scholars of Hadith. So both of these wordings, no one will enter the Jannah except a Muslim or mu'min, yani a nafsun muslima or nafsun, yani mu'mina, muslima or mu'mina. In any case, this hadith, what is intended here is the hadith, yani under discussion, yani that proves that a mushrik will not enter the Jannah. Person dies on shirk, they will enter the hellfire. Question number 5, akmil al hadith, man mata yushriku, akmil al hadith. Naam. No, give somebody, who didn't give us, Abu Bakr, now. A little bit louder. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam, this is the completing of the words, man mata yushriku billahi shayan, dakhala an-nar. Question number 6, imla al-faragat, fill in the blank spaces, fima ya'ti bi kalimat munasiba. Yani fill in the blank spaces with appropriate, suitable words that fit properly here. Okay, Abdurrahman.
Man mata yushriku billahi shay'an
dakhala an-nar.
Dakhala an-nar. Man mata la yushriku
Naam, man mata yushriku billahi, what should be in the blank? Shay'an, yushriku billahi shay'an, dakhal al-nar. Wa man mata, in the blank it should be, la yushriku billahi shay'an, dakhal al-jannah. Question number 7, man as-sahabi alladhi rawa hadha al-haditha, who is the companion who narrated this hadith? Who is the companion? Naam, Mustafa.
Huwa
Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhu. يعني which hadith, the hadith من مات يشرك بالله ومن المحدث الذي أخرجه, and who is the scholar of hadith who collected it? Abdul Karim. هو يعني هما البخاري ومسلم, الإمام البخاري والإمام مسلم رحمه الله, may Allah have mercy upon both of them. Second set of questions, 4 questions. ما معنى أشرك بالله شيئا, ما معنى أشرك بالله شيئا, منتي
associating something with Allah, worshipping something,
associating something with Allah, worshipping something with Allah, يعني making something as an equal, a partner with Allah in that which is his exclusive right. In Arabic, what is the meaning of من يعني أشرك, يعني what is the meaning of أشرك بالله شيئا؟ نعم عبد الحق. نعم جعله أشرك بالله شيئا, جعله, جعل هذا الشيء شريكا لله تعالى, to make that thing as a شريك, a partner, an equal, a sharer with Allah. نعم.
What's the statement of
شيء؟ Something, a thing. يعني شيء means a thing, something, anything. نعم. So that means يعني أشرك بالله شيئا, يعني that the person made something as a partner, something, anything, person, animal, stone, whatever, inanimate, animate, huh? They made anything as a partner or equal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يعني in those things that are his exclusive right. Question number 2, هات المضاري واسم فاعل من أشرك. المضاري, the present tense verb, and the noun that represents the doer of the action of that verb, from the verb ashraka, the mudari and the ism fa'il. Nasir.
Ashraka yushriku mushrikun.
Okay, same thing. This is not a question in the book, but this is a new question that's added. Yani we want the what? The mudari and the ism fa'il from aslama. From aslama. Naam. Aslama, yuslimu, muslim. From amana. Amana. Naam, Mustafa. Amana, yu'minu, mu'min. Mu'minun, naam. Question number... Naam.
Actually, I had a question when you were talking about the grammatical...
About the what?
The linguistic of the hadith. I had a question, but we came to that. I would like to ask you about the masdar. Because to compare this... Qadama is the verb af'ala. So the masdar is if'al.
If'al, naam.
It looks like they give shirk.
Naam, because there's more than one yani masdar, right? It could be a masdar from a different verb, right? Which is more common. But the masdar from ashraka yushriku is ishraq. Ishraq. From aslama yuslimu is what? Islam. From amana yu'minu? Iman. Naam, so the masdar from ashraka is ishraq. Ishraq means yani making something as a partner or shira and something with someone or something else. Type question number 3. Mal murad bin nar. What is intended by the word an nar? Naam.
Al murad bima jahannam.
Al murad biha jahannam. Naam. Hati mudari wal masdar min mata. The mudari and the masdar from mata.
Mata
yamutu. And the masdar? Mautun. Meta. Tayyib, this is the end of the notes here. Let me just, probably just take a moment, just quickly. We don't really have a lot of time because we want to go over the hadith for next week. But I just want to mention that the hadith which I mentioned earlier, inshallah I'll send it to the class, the hadith which I mentioned earlier that the Prophet ﷺ said, will remove from a person the greater and the lesser shirk. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lamu wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lamu. This hadith, yani the explanation of it is in this book. Yani it's the first hadith in this book. Yani the explanation of Shaykh Abdul Razak ibn Abdul Muhsin al-Badr. Yani his explanation of the supplications of the Prophet related to seeking refuge in Allah. Yani from different things. And of course, the most important thing that a person should seek refuge from is shirk. And this is the first hadith that he mentioned in this chapter dealing with seeking refuge in Allah. And the explanation of it is relatively brief, but inshallah, it is certainly something that any person should read. And it's brief, inshallah. I'll try to remember when I get in this evening to send it to the class so that we can benefit from it. Okay. The supplication is in Fortress of the Muslim, but unfortunately, there's no explanation as far as the Muslim. So, yani, this is a critical matter for us. It's a critical matter for us, right? And that is that what? That we don't just have a translation for hadith or supplication or dhikr, but that we actually understand its significance and its meanings, its implications. It's very important because the benefit of that supplication when you're saying it with consciousness and awareness of its implications and its meanings is much greater then if you're just reciting it in Arabic, maybe you just have a general idea of the meaning of the translation. Yarhamakallah. So for this reason, I try to really focus on yani, giving attention to understanding the meanings of the supplications. It's very, very important. And it brings a different yani, level of consciousness to the mind and the heart of the person when they're reciting these words, if they understand the meaning in greater detail. I just want to read the hadith for next week. This is a long hadith. Okay, no problem. This hadith, probably this is the first hadith that really is a lengthy one for us. And it's one of two long hadith in this book. Two long ones. This is one of them. And the other one is coming before the end, right? This hadith is hadith number 14 on page 33. Hadith number 14 on page 33. An Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu qal Yani Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, said, Ata an Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallama rajulun a'ma. Yani Ata an Nabi. Rajulun a'ma. A blind man came to the Prophet. Ata ya'ati means to come. Ata an Nabi, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who? Rajulun a'ma. A blind man. Faqala ya Rasulullah. O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, laysa li qa'idun yaquduni ila al-masjidi. Laysa li, I do not have qa'idun, a guide, yaquduni, to guide me, ila al-masjidi, to the masjid. I do not have a guide, O Messenger of Allah, I do not have a guide to guide me to the masjid. Yani how will I get here? Fasa'ala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he asked, meaning he requested from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, an yurakhisa lahu, to give permission for him, an yusalliya fi baytihi, to perform prayer in his home instead of coming to the masjid. He's blind and he doesn't have anybody to guide him. So he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give him permission to pray in his home. Farakhasa lahu. So the Prophet gave him permission. No problem, pray in your home. Falamma walla. But when he turned away, so when, yani عندما, at the time when he walla, was shadda on the lamb, when he turned away, da'ahu, he called him back. And the Prophet called him back. After he turned away, the Prophet called him back. Faqala. And then he said, hal tasma'u nida'a? Do you hear? The nida'a means what? The adhan. Do you hear the call to prayer? Qala na'am. The blind man said, yes. The Prophet ﷺ said, فَأَجِبْ, then answer, meaning, come to the masjid. Okay, so we can see the importance of this hadith and how serious it is when a blind man can't see and has nobody to guide him, and the Prophet ﷺ told him, you have to come to the masjid. In any case, we'll talk about this hadith next week. I just want to read it one more time in case somebody wants to start memorizing. An Abi Hurairata radiyallahu anhu qala ata an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallama rajulun a'ma faqala ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laysa li qa'idun yaquduni ila al-masjidi. فسأل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أي يرخص يعني with fatah أي يرخص منسوب because of N أي يرخص له أي يصلي أي يصلي with fatah يعني it's منسوب يعني both of these verbs are منسوب أي يرخص له أي يصلي في بيته فرخص له فَلَمَّا وَلَّى with شَدَّ on the lamb and أَلِفْ مَكْسُورَ فَلَمَّا وَلَّى يعني he turned away دَعَاهُ he called him فَقَالَ and said to him then he said to him هَلْ تَسْمَعُ النِّدَاءَ قَالَ نَعَمْ قَالَ فَأَجِبْ رواه مسلم. We don't have time to discuss this hadith today. نعم, is there something unclear written there? Yani, فَسَأَلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ, he asked, he requested from the Messenger of Allah, أَيْ يُرَخِّسَ. رَخَّصَ, يُرَخِّسُ means to give permission. رُخْصَ, to give permission. He asked him, give him permission, and he asked, أَيْ يُرَخِّسَ لَهُ, to give permission to who? أَنْ يُصَلِّيَ, that he may pray, فِي بَيْتِهِ, in his house. Any other question about the words of this hadith? Next week, inshallah, we'll discuss it in detail. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.